Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Right, let's look ahead then to Liverpool versus Manchester United at Anfield this Sunday. Big, big game of football. I've still got Chris, Steve and Andre in the studio with me for this one. Today, yeah, United, a bit like probably I was going into the Real Madrid game. I feel loads more confident because we feel like we're finding ourselves a little bit more. I don't think United are as good as Real Madrid, but they are also much bigger rivals. There's a load more that we've mentioned in the previous segments. You know, there's lots more riding on it in terms of mood and emotion and all, and hatred and all that kind of stuff. It's just a huge game, and not because you cannot win against Manchester United, because they're not, sadly, they're not really our business this season, which is a kick in the teeth. But I think just to keep the good mood going, just to make everyone feel better, feel like remind them that we are more at the level that they're at in the league. We've just not shown it consistently this year.
I mean, this is definitely the just playing for pride game, because none of us are, well, they just won a Carabao Cup, and you would have thought they'd won the Champions League the way they're celebrating.
I went mad last year. Let's giving Kepa the big V's.
It's just a bit of salt there. You know,
just a sprinkle.
Just a sprinkle. Just there. Bitterness.
Salt bay on the onions.
Bitter juice. I think with this particular game, I'm nervous because they are getting good. And I can see, I wasn't sure what Ten Hag was doing before, because it still seemed like there wasn't like his imprint on the team, but I can see it now. So I'm not going there like completely scared, but I'm more respectful of that team now, whereas before it was just like light work.
I'm the same as you. I think for me, what I can see first and foremost is he's nowhere near all the way there with the team yet, but he has absolutely changed the mentality of the players. That I think might be the hardest thing to do, and he seems to have done that first. Like, I do a show tomorrow, it's coming out, me and Josh do a preview of this game. We talk quite a lot about like the spine of the team in that game, and tactically I don't think there's much to change yet, really. But he's just got better players. Like, getting Casemiro in, kind of a little bit laughed at, to be honest, at 31 years old. But you look at Fabinho and what our form's done with Fabinho's not playing great. You look at what Casemiro's been able to bring to Manchester United, and he's just picked a few little things to change, and he's done it really well. But the mentality, they are now looking to me like one of the great Manchester United sides, whereby they don't know when they're beaten. Classic example last night, 15 minutes ago, the 1-0 down. You knew they were going to win. They seem to have got that back, which is mad, and that's a scary thought, really. Whereas for us, we just look bereft of confidence if the first goal goes against us. And we look absolute world beaters if we score the first goal. It doesn't matter to them. They're quite even keeled, and it's like, we're just going to play our game. We're going to trust in us. So, yeah, massive respect to Ten Hag, actually.
It's the first time we've played them as underdogs in ages.
They haven't beat us at Anfield in the league since 2016,
I know. And
say that. Now, look.
Touch wood. No, that did happen. And jinx anything, did I? I just repeated the fact. Did it jinx anything?
Well, time's going to tell. Is this wood? Unfortunately,
it looks like a veneer.
You sound like fucking Santa. Sorry. On the what he's done, he's made some brave decisions. as well. He really has. So, Cristiano Ronaldo.
The brave decision to let Cristiano Ronaldo run roughshod over his football club and then.
Yeah, but he never. That wasn't him. That was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer who Ronaldo's had his way with. Ten Hag, not had it. Not have it at all. You know, it's easy for us to sit and laugh at Harry Maguire, but to have the stones to go, he's the club captain or whatever he was at that point, you're not playing anymore.
Did he lift the trophy?
Yeah, he was there.
He was there.
But did he lift it because he is the club captain? Or did he strip the club captaincy off him?
I didn't watch.
See, we have no insight.
From what I saw, he lifted the trophy as well. He was right next to. Yeah, he was there. Right next to Fernandes. Yeah, he definitely was.
And he got him on the team. He played Luke Shaw at centre half the other day rather than picking him. So, like, he's made brave decisions. He's made players better.
I don't think that's a brave decision. He's shit, Harry Maguire.
Yeah, but he is, but like, again.
It cost him £80 million and he's the club.
He's
captain.
A Man United.
Cost him, though.
No, again.
No, but Man United are a company, first and foremost, aren't they? Yeah. And they're asset focused. And it's not the same as a Ronaldo thing.
From a playing point of view, Ronaldo and Maguire shouldn't have been playing for years, but they were. He's done well. He's made players better.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of players. Rashford is just unbelievable. Again, he's in the form of his life. They've got a system and a style of play that just suits them to a ground. It's mad to say this because like it's so obvious. But Man United have been so dysfunctional. They've been a team of individuals. I think like Ole Solskjaer's Man United do. You know, they won some big games. They go to Paris and win, and they do a few other bits and bobs as well. You know, they come second in the league at one point, but like I always felt like they were almost winning in spite of themselves. If that makes sense, I never felt they were like a good team or anything. Individuals were kind of carrying them through. Man United now are a proper team.
Yeah, you're right.
They're going to come to Anfield full of confidence for the first time in ages. You're right in saying that before, obviously, but recently they've been whipping boys, but they're not now. They're the underdogs.
It's an interesting dynamic to know that, because how do we play that? Because we know what their strengths are.
We're good at being underdogs at home.
Exactly, and they're a counter-attacking team, and it's just going to be interesting to see whether they can handle being the favourites almost for this. And they obviously won't be because it's at Anfield still, and you know we'll still probably be the bookmakers' favourites for it. It'll be narrow, I'd guess, or narrower than it has been in recent years. But how do they handle that almost like pressure, the weight of expectation that comes with it? Because that's a different pressure when there's no pressure on you when you're building your side, because you're just enjoying the ride and you're enjoying the wins that you pick up along the way. Whereas all of a sudden it's a game that matters. We're testing their resolve. We're testing how good they actually are. And that's why I think it's a massive game for us, is because you know there's a chance we might finish like 15 points plus behind them in the league this season, which would be mad. But there's a message that we can send here that just says, don't worry, we're not gone, and you're not as good as you think you are. That's kind of like, yeah, you know, prepare the open top bus, like, but it's not something that you can parade, but it's a little something you can carry with you potentially for the rest of the season for us and into next season.
The flip side of that is, of course, that if United come to Anfield and win, that's just them. Like that could be the thing that kickstarts them.
It's those we spoke earlier, didn't we, about our favourite Liverpool wins against them, and some of them are going to Old Trafford and winning and showing we're better than you. They've done that at Anfield along again, because I referenced on the previous segment, they've ruined our childhood because they often turned up at Anfield and a stupid goal like John O fucking shape, like things like that.
Yeah.
Just putting us get back in your box kind of thing. Well, a little upstart, but there you go, get back where you are. You don't want that. And also, it's again, away from the game, like, because of the situation we find ourselves in, we've got to try and we've got big games. So in our next five league games, we play United, City, Arsenal, and Chelsea. Our four of the next five, Bournemouth's in there as well. We've got to win some of these big games now.
Yeah.
But you know, like we do, because we've dug ourselves a hole. Where in some games, when a draw used to be an all, a draw against them, it's sound. You'll take that. You'll beat everyone else because all those fucking crap teams beat us. There's pressure on us now. We've got to win. We've got to win some of these big games, and if you can win the first one, it will just breed confidence going into, you know, City, Arsenal and Chelsea. If you lose to United, those bigger games become even harder. Again, two of the two best teams in the league are on the horizon coming up soon. You can't get beat by Man United and then go into them expecting to win, you know what I mean? So I think it's massive in terms of confidence and morale as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite annoying how good a time they're having, to be honest. Not makes me more annoyed.
They're having the kind of a season that we half had last year, except they're not as close to the title race.
And also they're not in the right competition to call it a quad.
I'm a big fan of it being of getting a banner for Mickey Mouse quad.
You know what? I remember when we started first getting good, like when we got Wijnaldum in the team, Mane signed, we just started getting momentum and people started taking us seriously. I feel like that's them now. Yeah. So they're not nowhere near City and us when at peak, but I just feel there's something that they've got. They've got the momentum.
It's like a start of something, problem. Doesn't it?
Like, yeah, like we need to. They're a very physical team. It's going to be one in midfield, so therefore, like, Klopp can't be. This is, you know, I might get stoned for this, but it can't. It's not a game for Harvey.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, it's a game for the big boys. But obviously, as much as I don't like to see Milner starting, you know, because I just think we should be past that already. You know, thank you, Milner, for your service. But, like, you shouldn't. You know, when I saw him starting at Palace, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
But we have to dominate him in the field.
Well, we've had to rotate to be able to get, I think, to get to a position where we can win this game, to put the team out that he wants to put out for this game of football. We'll talk about that in a second. I just want to point out one thing that's been quite funny about United is Ferguson still hanging around and how they asked him, like, and he was like, oh, basically just said, like, they need a striker. Imagine you're about Weghorst and the greatest legend of the football club has basically just come in and just said, like, you're a piece of shit, you mate. Yeah, Man United will be great when they actually once they get a striker. Love it.
He's
not wrong at all, Chris. But that's
a touchwood moment. Yeah, that's a definite touchwood moment.
He's not wrong. Yeah. I want to touch about a couple of the players and the positions and stuff. I want to start with Jota. So one of the debates we had on the final word was, he's not ready to start this game because he's not quite clicked just yet. Now, the counterpoint maybe, Chris, is that he could have done all the preparation and United is the game where he
clicks.
Not
for me. Gakpo is probably the guy he needs to come in. I felt last night against Wolves, the difference that Gakpo made, you just see it in that goal. He just comes on, his first touch is sublime. He plays Kostas Tsimikas in and we're through on goal. Casemiro is one of the best defensive midfielders in the world. He still is at the age that he is.
He had good games against us.
He's had good games against us for Real Madrid. And Martinez is really aggressive. And he's going to be the one that's on the centre forward. And he's got Casemiro in front. He's going to have Martinez behind. They are going to have 0.03 of a second to get the ball under control and get it popped off. So for me, it's Bobby Firmino or it's Gakpo.
I was about to say when you said that.
Because they are going to have no time. You can't play Darwin Nunes through there because his touch isn't good enough. Jota's touch isn't back yet. So they're the only two options for me.
I'd go Bobby.
And I'd go great in the air as well, which is important, I think, when you talk about Martinez. But the extra height maybe, Gakpo, something like that as well. My thing with Bobby is, if he'd played a few games, I would absolutely be with you. Mm-hmm. But he's not. And he didn't play.
I just wonder if the same room for
did
this,
Chris. Did he play any minutes last night?
He come on for a little at the end. I wonder. I think they've been.
I'd be surprised personally.
I've got a sneaky feeling we've been saving Roberto Firmino for this one.
You're right, because I think he's the right choice.
And I think I'd play him with the option of Jota and Gakpo off the bench. But listen, I agree, it can't be Jota for me. If it's not Bobby, then it is Gakpo, because it's got to be someone who can hold the ball up and play with us back to goal, because there's going to be a lot of that. They are a counter-attacking side, and I think they are going to let us have the ball. And I don't really think that is suiting Jota. I think Roberto Firmino, he's been on the bench for every game for a few weeks now. I think they're already starting to prime him up ready. I think that's the game for him. And he's and the Martinez thing's interesting, and the Casemiro stuff, because that's where what Firmino will do. He's happy to go even deeper than both of them. He's happy to go in front of Casemiro to get the ball. Gakpo has shown a willingness at times to be able to do that, but I don't think it's as natural to Firmino. Firmino can find himself playing centre mid, because you're right, he's got to go and find the space himself. And I think he'll just, you know, we know
it's not about getting into the 10 position for Bobby.
It's
getting into space.
Yeah.
Getting on the ball.
And he'll go in front of Casemiro and he'll drop into that area. So I will go Firmino. It's a big. That's a hard role for whoever's going to play that number nine against these, because they are Varane, Martinez, Casemiro, ultimately,
and probably Fred. They'll box it out. They'll use a four man box.
That's what I think. If anything, I think that Klopp will go with Jota, because it's going to be one of those games where it's going to be played wide. I just think our strength right now is not through midfield, so we have to stay away from that. So I think that Darwin has to have that game. Yeah. This is that game.
And that's probably their weak point as well, right back.
Yeah, because he's going to be playing off the left, coming in. And then I think Jota is a person who's an opportunist. I feel he's just almost there.
Yeah.
And just from what I saw, look, the reaction he had to be able to, you know, cross the ball back to Virgil for that, like, that shows me that you're there. And so I just think that it's going to be, we'll get opportunities and it has to be someone who's lethal. So who are you going to put?
I can see it.
I think there's interesting conversations to be had around a couple of these for those exact reasons. You're right. There's not enough recent minutes for Bobby Firmino to say he comes back in. Jota's, we've clearly been priming Jota because in terms of a pecking order, they obviously see him as being in there. Salah and Darwin pick themselves in this regard. And it's just what else we're trying to do, what we're trying to do with the midfield. Because I thought the Elliott thing was interesting because I know we're a bit fearful of, does it leave the midfield open and what have you? But look at the positions he was taking up in an attacking sense. When Henderson plays that, yeah, he'll do a little bit more of he's a bit more box-to-box, isn't he? But he's more right-sided.
Yeah.
Elliott was finding space in the 10.
Yeah.
And that was, we talked when we did the top five United wins.
And is that as a consequence of Jota being a front pole?
Potentially, yeah, because they're
and not you've having got him, someone come into that space.
Exactly, you've got him pushing on, and then everyone he's occupying the centre halves, and then all of a sudden there's Harvey Elliott getting little chest downs on the edge of the box. Which
I would fancy, I'd fancy Casemiro to have Harvey Elliott.
Yeah,
because Casemiro plays on that side. I think that would be a really difficult ask for Harvey Elliott to go up against Casemiro.
I'll be honest, Fabinho and Bacetic picked themselves. I think there isn't. I'm Hendo. Struggling for the third. Part of me, I mean, I'm going Hendo, but I'm thinking Henderson more for the
defensive help and Trent.
A little bit of that. Yeah. Just trying to double up if Rashford's going to play left.
Because Harvey's not going to.
If they're going to play, is it Rashford's probably going to play left, you would think?
He'll play from
left. He'll definitely play from left.
Fegos through the middle, and probably Antony on the right-hand side.
Or Sancho, maybe they've been getting Sancho back in. So, I agree, whoever's got that right-hand side midfield job, this is where it could be Milner again. Is that, whoever's that right...
0% chance for me. Do you know what it'll be and what it should be? Because the reason why Harvey Elliott had a good game and the reason why he was picked is because he's got legs. He's not dead fast, but he's got running in him. And he'll never give up. He'll never let someone go because he just can't be arsed. He'll go all day and if you ask him to go up and down all day, and he'll do that. He'll go and support the attack. Functionally, he fitted. All of a sudden, he fitted better what we needed because we've tried to get energy back into the midfield and Harvey Elliott's got it. I agree, it'll probably be Henderson, but I do wonder whether there's a little conversation over the next few days when they're looking at them and training and going, have you got this in you? Can you go? Can you go flat out in this football match? Because if you can, Henderson will get it. But if there's a little doubt that we're going to lose a bit of mobility or whatever, maybe there's an outside chance that Elliott gets the nod.
That's a hard job for Trent Alexander-Arnold, if that's the case. To go up against Rashford on his own. A guy who's like, you know, and I know you.
But he's not going up against them on his own. I don't like this idea.
Yeah, but he is. I think if he's got Elliott, he is.
No, but I just think that's overstated. I mean, you don't see anything to suggest Harvey Elliott doesn't get back and do the bit. He's not as physically robust as Jordan Henderson in terms, you know, as big is he? But it doesn't matter if Jordan Henderson's gassed and he's 40 yards up the pitch.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Then Trent's fucked either way. It doesn't matter whether Jordan Henderson's got half a foot on him and is the captain or whatever. You're better off having someone who can literally physically get back in and help you out. I'm not saying it's necessarily Harvey, but that I think that's the conversation they'll have because they'll want that mobility and energy.
I'd be shocked if the team wasn't Trent, Konate, who I think is massively important for this game because of his speed going up against Rashford.
Yeah.
Van Dijk, Robertson, Fabinho, Bacetic on the left, Henderson on the right, Salah, Nunes, insert striker, and I think it'll be Gakpo. I'd prefer it to be Bobby, but I'm not sure he is fit because I've never seen Klopp play someone in this game of this magnitude without a few minutes under her belt, like a proper minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be shocked if that team was more than a player out, to be honest with you.
It's an interesting shot, it really is, and it's actually what a world to be in where we can have a reasonable debate about three or four of the lads coming in. You can make a case for Costa starting again in this one, to be perfectly honest. I mean, Andy Robertson, I love Andy Robertson to bits, but Simicast has got twice as many assists as him this season. He's not as strong defensively.
Better corner taker.
Yeah.
Better set piece taker.
I mean, Simicast had a couple of little brain dead moments in the match, but also he's barely kicked the ball for us in recent weeks as well. I thought he handled that game pretty well. And let's be honest, you know, Adama Traore comes on, but he's an Adama Traore shaped handful. You know,
Tim Akas absolutely rinses him with that shoulder badge. Doesn't make it, you know, stick because he's not looking when Alisson passes him the ball and the ball rolls out of play. Mm-hmm. But what a shoulder badge! That was glorious. I mean, against Adama Traore.
This definitely has to be a physical game. I might be on the other side of a popular opinion here, but Gakpo, he hasn't really won me over just yet. I think he's still finding his way in this league. I just feel like it's... He comes alive when Nunes is playing. I think Nunes brings out the best of him. But like him himself, I haven't seen anything that I thought,
I don't know. I don't know that he's the goal threat enough yet. Nah. And, you know,
Jota, when he started, when he came in, straight away, he was just like, wow, we've got something here.
And we were looking at this earlier, actually. Jota's, I think he's got our third highest assists this season. Wow. He's got six assists so far this season.
I can totally understand, I can totally understand Andre's points here. Yeah. I think a lot of people that I've spoken to are the same as you, to be honest with you. I don't know whether it's underwhelmed, but like, for me, when I look at a player like that, I'm like, oh, I can see it. And I'm trying to think, oh, this is what he's going to be.
Yeah.
But like, some people don't watch it the same way as I do. Some people go, Jota came in and went, bang, goals. You know, that's what you want from a centre forward. So I can totally understand that. And that's why people have those opinions differ, isn't it? Because
they make chaos, both of those two. Yeah, slow Nunes bears. And him make chaos, and that's what you need.
You feel, in terms of a goal threat, it's Nunes, Jota, Salah is the one of it. And is the one where you think that's probably got the most goals, isn't it, right now? Obviously with Luis Diaz on the sideline. So I get it. I think if he plays Henderson, then he'll play Jota. Because he'll need that goal threat because he's got three lads in midfield who never score. Excuse me. So if he's going to play Jordan Henderson, he'll probably play Jota. I think if he's going to play Gakpo or Firmino, then he might play a little bit more of an attacking, whether it be an Elliot or just because he can trust Gakpo or Firmino to drop in and make it a four. So I think that they rely on each other a little bit, but it's the battle for this game, mate. And we know for now everyone and it's easy to say, but like. It's Rashford versus Alexander-Arnold. I think where this game is going to be won and lost ultimately. I know you've I'm right in saying because you've got a show coming out on that, haven't you?
Yes, literally titled that.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. So I don't want to step on it too much, but
in fact, that might be a better title. It might now be getting called Rashford versus Alexander-Arnold
because that's the game. Whoever wins that battle, you've got a massive chance because he's their best player. He's the most informed player probably in the Premier League. If he's not there, I don't know who else is really. There's a couple of them. He's done well against Trent Alexander-Arnold in the past. So that's where the game, I think, is going to be won and lost. That's why I say Ibu being back, you mentioned before, is a massive help. Got over there. He's got the pace to get over there. I think Liverpool, I really like us focusing on how to stop them. I'd rather us go and impose, how do we impose ourselves on them?
Well, it's the forever thing. You know, we said this about Manchester City. You don't worry about how to stop Erling Haaland. You worry about how to stop Kevin De Bruyne. And you look at where the service is coming for Rashford. And a lot of it is so fast. It's so fast that they're just twatting it over the top. And that's maybe just being a bit more balanced in how we do things. And that, you're right, that's Canate solves
a few of them. You can do your own heading, focus on them. Yeah. How do you get at them?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's the balance.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't think we should be worried about like us going forward. I think that we've got more than enough options. But it is definitely defensively. Like that, you know, if let's say in theory you play Harvey Elliott, you're going to be leaving Trent and Ibu on their own. And I just think that Rashford is, when a player's hot, they're hot. And I just think you've got to give them the respect. And I think that what Hendo does, he may not be obviously what he was before, but he's positional player through experience. Yeah. He's going to know where to be.
Yeah.
Look, and I think he'll tuck in a bit more.
He should be. Look, Jordan Henderson should be in this side. Yeah. You know, that's what he is. You don't sign it. You know, you're not the club captain for no reason. He's when the chips are down, you want him in the side because he is a safe pair of hands and that stuff, and he can influence the game. I just think it would be an interestingly brave decision because I think it might look a bit crazy, but as I say, I just thought, you know, Wolves are quite a robust midfield. I know they're nowhere near the
quality. They have no goal for it, though.
But they're a dirty physical side, and I thought Bichetta and Elliott stood up quite well to that. You know, I think United will do similar things.
How many times has a Premier League side put a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old in centre midfield?
Yeah,
but that's what drives a lot of the fans mad, because it's you're putting, you know, a lot of faith in young heads, and I think that we need to right now. If we're looking,
put it in old heads.
Yeah, put it in old heads,
because everyone said that with that.
I do love you, Milner. Yeah, but you know. I just think that we've just really got to make sure that we are stopping their attack.
I'll be honest, I don't think any of the options are ideal for that role. I think I'm signed with the back four, and I'm signed with whatever version the front three goes with. And
it's almost like we need a midfielder, see?
Now
everyone sees what Genie used to do, and this is the problem. It's like, what does he do? Also, sorry, side subject, Man United fans, or I've heard in a few forums that some of them have been saying that Rashford is the best player in the world. Relax. Like, just relax. Like, he's not in any form of way. This is getting clipped, isn't it?
Yeah. He's in great form. I think he's been fantastic. But yeah, everyone does it a little bit. He is brilliant. And that's what this, going back to my other point, I don't think it's fair on Trent Alexander-Arnold to say, like, against Wolves, where you said Liverpool picked two kids in midfield, because ultimately Trent has to stop Matheus Nunez one-on-one, and he'll fancy that. Wolves can't score. You're now asking him to go one-on-one against, and he might not be the best player in the world, but he's certainly one of the most informed players in the world.
Yeah.
That's a big ask for, like, that. You could have any right-back in the world in his prime, and that would be a hard challenge.
No, gosh, so, absolutely. I mean, look, this is one of those games, though, where we forget these are the games where Mo Salah tracks back. You know, because it becomes one of those all-in efforts where Darwin...
I love those games when Salah's digging in and you're like,
loves playing Man United. His record against Man United is stupid.
10 goals in 11 games against Manchester United for Mo Salah. Wow. Long may that continue, certainly. There we had a few comments.
It'll get better.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I've just looked at one of them lights.
Quinton Class has gone big in the comments. One of our members here on YouTube says, Jota should start. I want the same from three, please. Jota will give them questions. I want the same team to start. He's really, really keen on that. And he also says, Harvey will, believe me, test Casemiro. I don't want to overlabour the point because we've all made our points on it. No one's going to be changed or convinced. It doesn't matter. Klopp will pick who we want and we'll get behind it regardless. Yeah. But it will be interesting that Jordan Henderson stopped being picked for the big games last season. And he's favoured Naby. He's not going to favour Naby in this one. So is there someone who
Naby
does...
picked up a knock?
Yeah.
He does that.
Shock.
After he's hooking at half-time, he's not available for the next game.
But it is that thing of, do we want our right-sided eight to be, when we're thinking about what we're going to do to damage them, do we want someone who goes and overloads on the right wing, or do we want someone who's going to offer a threat from the 10? And that'll be interesting to see what balance he's asking for that, because Jordan doesn't do the latter.
Can I ask you guys a question? Just, why do we have to keep on playing the same formation? because we don't have the players for it.
Well, we don't have the players for any formation if you're going to be like that.
Do you remember the other formation that we had? I'm not going to name it or whatever it was. Like, there's only like two formations he played. It's like 4-3-2-1
a little bit.
Yeah.
4-2-4.
We played 4-4-2.
Like, I just think that we need more bolstering in midfield and less up front. Like, I just think that you could actually just play two up front and then have more
he has used that like diamond formation a couple of times.
The problem with the diamond is you get killed on the flanks. So you, and then the problem with 4-4-2 is that you've got no pace to play in your left or right midfield. Yeah. You're playing Darwin Núñez as a left midfielder to do that. You could play 4-2-2-2, which we've done a few times. 4-3-3 is the best we've got because it's the one we've trained the most as much as anything else.
And I think you're right there. And I think actually it matches up quite well to them. And this is something that me and Josh cover on tomorrow's show. But like, if you just picture in your head a 4-2-3-1, which is what they're playing, and a 4-3-3, man to man, you're actually against somebody there against United.
Yeah.
Because we are two midfielders are advanced, they're two are deep. Like, if you start messing around with that now, like it matches up quite well.
And look, 4-2-3-1. When we're attacking against Wolves, we're playing 4-2-3-1 because Harvey Elliott's playing in the 10 effectively. So it is. It's much. It's a situation. I get your point. No. When you've got the perfect Klopp midfield who's full of energy and legs, you'll never question it for a single second. When it looks knackered, it looks like it's all gonna
formations. I think, I'll be honest, and I talk about them a lot, are massively over talked about because it's not about staying in your formation throughout an entire game. We mentioned it before. It's about finding space on the field.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to go and do. And in a defensive sense, it's cutting space off and cutting passing lanes off. That's what it is. So you've got rough areas of the field where you're supposed to be, but ultimately you're just down to shut space off and find space.
Absolutely. Scott Hawks in the live show chat has just gifted 20 Redmen TV YouTube memberships.
Wow!
I know, God, there we go. Like, Sylvie Ray, you get a membership. Wally 77, Antonio, the Crosby Vlogger's just been gifted a membership. Go ahead,
Shane Crosby O'Kelly, Vlogger.
Ben Lorraine, George Fuller, Peter Howell.
Did you just say Bed Lorraine?
Bed Lorraine, whatever you want to do with her. Ben Michael Toth, Paul Lennon, Ben Moule. He's a big fan of Freet as well.
I don't know, you could gift YouTube memberships.
Yeah, Scott's done it a couple of times. He gave 10 out the other week.
Yeah, Scotty.
Scott's a legend.
He said, my version of bringing cake to the office on your birthday. Does that mean it's your birthday?
Happy birthday. It is his birthday. You mentioned this yesterday.
Happy birthday to Scott. Finny's been a little undersold by the camera work there. Happy birthday, Scott! Exceptional stuff. Oh, he's done loads. Right, brilliant. Absolutely incredible. Incredible stuff. Okay, so let's have some score predictions before we wrap up on this one today. Oh, don't
be the first person.
No, to be fair.
I was eating crisps this
morning. Sorry, but Ruby texted me this week and went, see, I told you it'd be a draw. I was like, oh. Bad.
I think it'll be a 2-1. 2-1 to us.
Yes.
I've got a feeling it'll be Henderson who scores the winner for a bonus point if there is that.
Madness. Oh, you definitely get a bonus point. I really want to say 2-1, but I think 1-1. I know.
We either win these games well or we draw 0-0. Is what this? What the? You know, going back to, we've not lost since 2016. Here, that's exactly how it's gone. We've had 2-0 draws in the last five.
I'm going to go 3-1 to Liverpool.
Steve,
I was thinking 1-1, but fuck it, I've had a drink.
You've said that before, Steve.
I went to meet Santa. No, 5-1.
Fuck off.
No, obviously I'm joking. I think we'll win 2-1 then. Let's go 2-1.
I think 3-1. I don't think we're going to stop Marcus Rashford from scoring. I think that'll be what'll happen. Yeah. But I'm not sure on the timing of that. I don't mind the idea of them getting a little, like the Shaq 3-1 game, where they get a little sniff and feel like it's all their day. As long as we don't concede the first goal in that, I don't mind it going 1-1 and then us just going flex and go and win it. I could be very happy.
Tough game.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.